You're listening to Connect Communities Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. If you'd like to know more about our community, stop by our website at www.connectcommunity.tv. Enjoy the message.
Listen, we're starting a three-part series. So it's going to be this Sunday and two more Sundays where we are starting this series called Speak. And we want to focus on words. And what kind of words are we going to use and communicate in our year? How are we going to set the tone for the new year? Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to communicate with somebody who can't understand you. Somebody who doesn't speak your language. Or maybe even a baby who can't talk yet. A baby who's in pain. And you want them to tell you, like, what's happening? Where's hurting? I've experienced both. I remember when I was in Macau, China. And I walked into a store and I was approached by the clerk. And I looked at the clerk and I said, English? And the clerk was like, just shook his head. And I said, Portuguese? And they're like, just shook his head. I said, all right, Spanish it is then. Let's go ahead. Because, you know, there's always somebody who speaks Spanish, right? Anywhere in the world. No, it didn't work out. I also remember when Maya, she was so little, and she got her first ear infection. We didn't know. And I think we were out of town that time, and she just was feeling bad, crying, and we didn't know what it was, and her nose was running. We thought maybe it's just a cold, so let's give her some Tylenol and put her to sleep. And it didn't work because she started getting a fever, and then come to find out, I had to set up an appointment, obviously take time off work, take her to the doctor. Come to find out, it wasn't colic, it wasn't a cold, it was an ear infection. And we didn't know that she was prone to it. But it took us, you know, a lot of people don't tell you this when you become a young parent. There's a lot of guessing involved in taking care of your child because there's no communication, right? And we just wanted to solve the problem right then and there. But it took us another day to get to the doctor and see what was wrong. Well, a couple years ago, she had another ear infection. And all it took was her looking at us and saying, Mom, Dad, my ear really hurts. I'm like, all right, problem solved. This was way easier than the first time. You know, it's communication. Communication is the basic element of words, why we speak. Communication is the basic utility of words, to understand and to be understood. It's how we interact with others. It's how, you know, we go through life. We use words to teach, to guide, to chat, to talk. We use words to impress, to joke, to laugh, to love, to express sadness, to express joy. We use words on a daily basis. Words are fundamental to everything that we do. I don't know if you thought about it this way, but without words, your thinking would be much different. Without words, the way you live your life would be much different. Your abilities would be severely hindered. Without words, you wouldn't be able to become a husband, a wife, a doctor, a teacher, a lawyer, a singer, a musician. Without words, you couldn't become many of the things that we become today because of education, because we can communicate. Without words, you wouldn't be able to define your desires and plan your life successfully. Words matter. Words are important. Words frame our lives. Now, how many words will you speak in a lifetime? How many words will you speak in your entire life? In 1984, a British writer, actor, broadcaster, and self-professed word person, lover of Scrabble, actually came up with an estimate. His name is Giles Brandreth. And his estimate was this, that the average person will speak 860,341,500 words in a lifetime. He was so sure about it, he even wrote a book about it. Now, I believe we have gotten so used to this ability that we have to speak, to use words, that we forgo or we forget the power that they have. We forget the effect that words can have in others. and the effect the words can have in our own lives. Words are powerful. And when we forget it, we use words, we misuse words. We say words like they're nothing. We say words like they're meaningless. And then we say mean things at times. The misuse of words can carry consequences that sometimes even go unnoticed. Or worse, they become self-fulfilling prophecies. You've probably been in a situation when something negative happens and somebody in that situation looks at you and says, Didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you this was going to happen? I said it. I knew it. I said it. I said it was going to happen. And look at that. It just happened. I wonder how many times it's not guessing, but speaking it into existence. I wonder how many times, if we had the faith to look at those situations differently, if we had the faith to speak something positive, if we had the faith to call out something constructive, something good, we would have seen it come to pass. I wonder how many times we would have looked at a positive situation and say, I said it. It was going to happen. Today, I want to encourage you to set the course for a new year. Set the course by paying careful attention on how you speak, the kind of words you use. To know that your words carry power, that your words, they carry value, that your words, they matter. Your words can set the tone and they can set the foundation for your year, for the year ahead, for your dreams, for your goals. Now, let this be the year that we decide to speak differently. Let this be the year that we decide to speak better, to use words that are positive, words that are a blessing and not a curse, words that will build people up. Let's be the year where we apply wisdom when using our words. So we're going to spend the next two Sundays equipping you with this subject, just trying to expand your mind a little bit, help you pay attention to the kinds of words you speak, because we believe that words are fundamental. If you're going to excel this year, it will involve words. It will involve your speech. It will involve what you are speaking into existence. So today I'm going to lay the foundation for this series. I'm going to give you some theology. We're going to go through scriptures and we're going to share this basic principle of words. So in the very first book of the Bible, in the very first chapter, the very first verse, this is what we find. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There are two things I want to highlight from Genesis. It starts by saying, in the beginning. In other words, before anything was, before anything existed, before anything we know to be existed, before time, before space, God, the immovable mover, the source, the origin, God, the all-powerful, created. That's the first thing we learn, that God created before anything. What did God create? He created the heavens and he created the earth. This talks about two dimensions. This talks about two realms, two planes. He created the heavens, the spiritual realm, the unseen realm. He created the heavens, the world we cannot see. And he created the earth, the seen realm, the physical realm. He created the earthly realm. It continues. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The earth, the physical realm, had no form. The earth, what could be seen, was completely empty. It was void. It was dark. But even then, the Spirit of God was already in it. Even when things were without form, even when things were void, God's presence was already there. It's telling us that before anything was or anything came to be, before that massive explosion, the Spirit of God was already in it. Before the earth had any form, God was there. Now, what happens next should change the way we see words forever. And maybe you've read this passage many times, and I just want to help you see this in a different light. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now God, the creator of the universe, the one who was here before anything was here. God, the all-powerful being. When he brought things to existence, he didn't wish it into existence. He didn't think it into existence. He didn't have a secret gesture. He didn't twitch his nose like Bewitched. And he didn't clap to turn the light on. He said it. He spoke. God used words. And that's the second thing that I want you to notice from the very beginning, how the scriptures establish this truth, that God created with words. Now, I believe this is a model. This is a framework for us, even a spiritual law, that words can be a bridge between the unseen realm, between the heavens and the earth, the seen realm. Words build the bridge. What connected heaven to earth, what transformed darkness into light, what gave shape, form, light, and filled the earth was the word of God, was what he spoke. He used words to transform the physical seen realm. Now, with that in mind, let's go over to what the Apostle John wrote and how he begins his gospel. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, what John is letting us know here is that he was the Word. The Word that was in the beginning. The Word that was the bridge. The Word that was the connection between heaven and earth. Before anything was, Jesus was already the bridge. Before anything was, he was already the one who connected us to God. Before anything was, he was the one who brought the manifestation of God's will and God's desire into the seen realm. Jesus was there. He was the Word. And the Word became flesh. Now, don't miss this. 18 years ago, I was in the Philippines with a group of pastors, and we were out in the villages in the countryside of the Philippines, and the preacher was using this passage, and we were in a soccer stadium, and the preacher was using this passage. The Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. Every time he would say the Word became flesh, the crowd would laugh. And they would just bust out laughing. And I was like, why are they laughing at the Word became flesh? And later we found out that the translator was translating the Word became meat. So this is not what John is saying, okay? John is not saying that Jesus became beef. That the Word became beef. That the Word became meat. What he's saying here is that which was immaterial, that which was spiritual, became material. That which was belonged in the unseen realm, the spiritual, became physical. That Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, this is powerful because John, just in his first chapter, he confirms the Genesis proposition. Both chapters, chapter 1 in Genesis and chapter 1 in John, they speak of the same thing, that words become flesh. That's what we learn, that in the hierarchy of creation, words are the catalyst. Words is what bridge what you can't see, what you can only imagine, to what you later see, to what becomes physical. And the words are the manifestation of something immaterial to the material realm. Now, we learn that when God created us, he formed us in his likeness. We learned that in Genesis. Which means this, there's something about you that's just like God. Amen. There's something about you that if somebody were looking at you, and then God was just right next to you, they would look at you and go like, something about you too. You're related, aren't you? Something about you too that are similar. And one of the things about us that is just like God is the fact that he gave us words. You, like God, can speak. You, like God, can use words. He gave you the ability to speak. I don't know if you have stopped to realize this, that we are the only creatures on earth, the only physical creatures in the physical realm that have this ability. We are the only creatures that are endowed with the ability to speak. Have you realized that? There's no other creature in creation that can speak, that can use words. And what we learn is that God had faith in us. He had faith in you. He had faith in me to share this ability with us, to put this likeness, just like him, in us. He gave us of himself. He gave us of this ability. He gave us this ability to speak, to say words. And we have the option, because he gave us also the option, to do whatever we want with it. You know, in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, scripture says this, that the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat it, you will surely die. In other words, you are made in my likeness, and you are connected to me. Right now we're connected, and we are in the same plane right now. But you have the option to go your own way. You have the option to be your own man and do you, boo. And the story of Eden is about that. That's what's more relevant to you and I. Because how did the serpent get Adam and Eve to break away from their relationship with God? We see it in the scripture. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent, and it tells you who the serpent is, said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat from the tree in the garden? Did God say? See, sometimes we read that scripture and we think, the serpent was trying to get him to eat the fruit. That's what they were trying to do. The serpent was trying to do. Sure, that was part of the plan, but I believe that, I have this conviction in my heart, that the first thing, the number one thing the serpent was trying to do, it's to break the connection the man and the woman had with the Word of God and to put doubt in their hearts. Did God really say? To take their faith from God and place it in himself, in the serpent. Say, no, did God really say that? Can you believe and trust God's Word, in other words? Can you hold to God's Word as truth? Now, he didn't say that. The enemy wanted to do that. He wanted to take their faith from God's word. And this is the reason why I bring this up. And the reason why I think this is very relevant to the year ahead. It's very important to how you are going to set the tone for the new year. It has great utility in your planning of the new year. Because we learn from these two scriptures, John and Genesis, that words create the world we live in. That creation began with words. And also, sin began with words. Words created both. Words gave birth to both. Now, if your ability to speak has creative power, I have a question for you in the outset of the new year. What kind of world are your words creating? What kind of ear are your words going to shape? What kind of year are you going to usher in? Just as God used his word to create, to shape, to form, and to fill the earth, you have the ability to use your words to create, shape, form, and fill your word, your world. Now, we are created in his likeness. And he gave us the option then in the garden, and he continues to give you the option right now. You can choose what kind of word you're going to speak. You can choose what kind of words you're going to listen. But one thing is sure. One thing can't change. The world you are creating will be in your likeness. The world you are speaking into existence will look just like you. Proverbs says this, that the death and life, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So I have one lesson for you today, very simple, for you to keep in mind and to keep in your heart. One thing that we all must hold to heart, and I believe that we got to keep this in mind when we talk to people this year, especially in the beginning of the year as we set the tone for the year. You got to keep this in mind when you talk to your spouse. You got to keep this in mind when you talk to your children. You got to keep this in mind when you talk to your friends, your coworkers, when you talk to your roommates. You got to keep this in mind. And this is the lesson, very simply, is that words become flesh. In other words, words bring things into existence. I'm not talking about beef or meat here. I'm talking about words can make things materialize. Words have that power. They have creative power. So if you don't mean it, don't say it. If you don't mean it, hold your words. Be wise with your words this year. Because words become flesh. If words become flesh, then let's use life-giving words. Let's build people up. Let's tell people that they're better. Let's tell people what they're good for. Let's tell people that they're winners. If words become flesh, what kind of world are you going to create? You got to take your words seriously. See, if you don't take your words seriously, no one will. And if words become flesh, you got to think about what we're saying. See, if your words are filled with nothing, they will lose its power, but they will not work for good. Let our prayer be like the psalmist. Psalms 19, verse 14 says this. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing unto you, O Lord. Let my words align with you. Let my heart align with you. Let my speech align with your good, perfect, and acceptable will. That's the lesson for today. Now, let me make this clear. What's special about the Gospel of John, what is amazing about the Gospel of John, is not that words become flesh. What is revelatory about his Gospel is not that words become flesh, because it's been known from the beginning. We just saw it in Genesis that words have creative power, that words become flesh, that words bring the immaterial and they can make something materialize. If John was writing that words become flesh, he wouldn't be writing anything special. What John was saying, what's powerful about John's declaration, is that the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. The Word that spoke the world into existence. The Word that said, let there be light. The Word that said, let us make men in our likeness and in our image. That Word became flesh. That Word became flesh. What John is teaching us is that Jesus was the personification. He was the embodiment. Jesus, he was the embodiment of the very Word that created everything good on earth before words were marred by sin. He was the pure Word of God. He was the unblemished Word of God. He was the spotless Word of God in the flesh. And Jesus came to set things in order. He came to reconcile mankind with God. He came to change our situation. He came to give everyone who believes in him the power to again become a child of God, to have that relationship that Adam turned his back on. That's what Jesus did. And how did he do it? By being the Word of God alive. Jesus came to restore the Word of God in you. Now, why would he do that? Because in Jesus, the Word of God can become flesh in you. In Jesus, every single one of God's promises can become a reality in your life. In Jesus, His word can become real in you. You can experience everything His word can manifest in your life. Through Jesus, the word of God can become flesh in you. So Jesus walks into a situation when people are living upside down, and through His word, He turns it upside up, right side up. He walks into a life that has been bearing bad fruit, and He sees that situation, and through His word, starts bearing good fruit. In other words, He walks into an empty, dark, formless world, and He turns on the light. He walks into an empty, dark, formless heart. He walks into an empty, dark, and formless marriage. He walks into an empty, dark, and formless dreams. He walks into an empty, dark, and formless heart. And He says, "Let there be light." And when Jesus says, "Let there be light," you begin to see things differently. I don't know what you're going through here this morning. I don't know how you started your year. But my hope and my desire is that you would receive the light of God in you. Is that whatever burden you've been carrying, whether you've been carrying it for a long time, you may, through the word of God in your life, see it in a different way. Perhaps this has been true in your life, but in a negative sense. Perhaps you're here today and the words that became flesh in your life were negative words. Perhaps you're here today and the words that became flesh in you were curses. Things that were spoken over you and that you still believe in them, that are holding you back. Words that say that you're not good enough. Words that say that you're not made for your dreams. And maybe those words took root in your hearts. What kind of words shaped your existence? And is it the word of God? I want to encourage you to open your heart this morning, because I believe that if you allow the light of Christ in your heart, everything begins to change today, right here. Whether you've been doing this for a while, or whether this is a new thing for you, the word of God can shine its light on you and change every situation. You may discover this through His word. You might have believed that you're weak. And through His word, you will realize, I'm not weak, I'm strong. Maybe you've believed that you're just sad, because that's what's been spoken over you. But in His word, you'll find that you're not sad, you're joyful. Maybe, you know, you think of yourself as boring, you know, just dull. But He speaks fun over you, joy, happiness. Maybe the words that shaped you said you're poor. But in Him, you'll find that you're rich. I don't know what you're facing, but whatever curse might be still speaking in your hearts, it's still being repeated in your mind, that curse can be broken by His word. And He can turn it into blessing. And let's not start the year of 2019 holding on to things from 2018. That were dragging us down. Thoughts, words, ideas that might have been holding you back. Let His light shine on you. And know that you are not an orphan. You're not lonely. You're not despised. You're not forgotten. But you are empowered. You are redeemed. You're talented. You're well able. You're a child of God. A son and a daughter of God. See, when John wrote his book, the Gospel of John, he wasn't trying to write the Bible. He was writing a letter to people of his generation so that they may believe in the word, so that they may believe in Jesus. Now, on the outside, his life was not the best it could be. See, by the time he wrote this, most likely his brother would have been decapitated by Herod. His brother was James, one of Jesus' closest friends, Peter, John, and James. And James was killed early on, and all the apostles were being persecuted. But amid it all, In the midst of all that, this is what he writes. In him was life. He's talking about Jesus. And life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, you will most likely face challenges this new year. You'll most likely face things you can't oversee, you can't foresee. Most likely, you will face things you cannot anticipate. But my encouragement to you is simple today and straightforward. If you know that words become flesh, if you know that words can speak things into existence, let His Word become a reality in you. In other words, let Jesus shape your new year. Let His words of hope and His light shape your life. Choose to live this year in His new light, speaking His Word, speaking positive words, speaking good words, speaking differently. If you do so, I believe you will eat of the fruit of life, as said in Proverbs. And I believe that like John, even though you may face difficulties, even though you may face challenges, you will be able to say at the end of 2019 that the light of God shone in your life and that darkness did not overcome it. Do you receive it this morning? Amen. Amen. Amen.